verse, and it's in this passage of Scripture. We're going to turn to it now in a moment. But I just want to read these verses just to give you a glimpse or just bring you into the picture. This is Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. And previous to this chapter, obviously, is chapter 3. And the story goes that Peter and John, apostles of the Lord, they went to the temple one day, 3 o'clock prayer service. They went along, and as they were walking into the temple, there was a beggar on the ground. He turns to them, as beggars do, and he says, "Would you spare some change or give us some money?" I know what that's like, being there, done that. And Peter turns to him, looks at him intently. He says, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Get up and walk." And the story goes that the man is instantly healed. And then Peter and John get into trouble for doing that. Isn't it amazing? More time, when you get into trouble, more times than not, it's because you've done something wrong. But these guys had done something good, and they got into trouble. And this chapter follows that story. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them into jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, "By what power or in whose name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.' There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. That's a great story. One of the verses in that particular story is this verse. It's verse 13. It says, "The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus." They are described as ordinary men. Some people, they don't describe Peter as an ordinary man. You know that, don't you? Some people have described Peter as, no, he's amazing. He is amazing. He is untouchable. They've given him a special place within some religious circles. They have elevated Peter up there and says, "Peter, you're special." But this particular description of Peter and John says that they were ordinary men. See, that caught my attention. to describe Peter as an ordinary man, to describe John as an ordinary man. I found myself asking the question, what is an ordinary man? If somebody was to describe you, what word would they use? What word would you like them to use? But this particular author, the author of the book of Acts, describes Peter and John as ordinary. I wonder how Peter felt about that. Would he have likened to say, ah, surely you could describe me in better terms. I could give you a couple of words that you could use to describe me. And maybe John could have said the same thing, went to the author and says, here, look, here's a couple of words that paint me in a nice little light. But you can't get away from the scripture. It describes them as ordinary men. What is an ordinary man? I looked up the dictionary and found some words that are closely related to the word ordinary. And this is what it says. To be ordinary is to have no special or distinctive features. It's to be normal. It's to be commonplace. If somebody is ordinary, they are standard. They are average. They are typical. They're bland. They're colorless. They've got no sparkle. They've got no flavor. They are middle of the road, unexceptional, nothing to write home about, no great movers, no great shakers, just plain and simply ordinary. Peter, I know you've walked on water. And I know that you've done some great things, Peter, but you're ordinary. And John, I know you love to describe yourself as the disciple that Jesus loved. We know that you love to use those terms. But John, you're going to have to deal that you are an ordinary man. Has anybody ever heard of Christy Moore, the old Irish folk singer? And he sings a song. Do you know what it's called? It's called Ordinary Man. I'm going to tell you the first verse, because it describes an ordinary man. This is the first verse of his song. I'm an ordinary man, nothing special, nothing grand. I've had to work for everything I own. I've never asked for a lot. I was happy with what I got, enough to keep my family and my home. Peter, disciple of the Lord, apostle of the Lord, walked on water, did great things, failed a couple of times. John loved the Lord, served the Lord, witnessed the power of the Lord. But both of them, they cannot get away. They are ordinary men. They are bland. They are colorless. They are nothing to write home about. They're average. They're typical. They are all of those things. They are ordinary men. And that's how the author sees them. In that light. And that's a skill. That's important, isn't it? To be able to see people in the light that they are. Have you ever seen somebody in the light that they're not? Do you know what I mean? That you've looked at somebody's life or you've looked at somebody and you've thought to yourself, that person is this. Because you've seen them in a particular light. It's important that we see people in the light that they are. Not to build them up too much then that they are something that they're not. And also not to go over to the other side and to see them less than what they are. But just to see them as they are. If somebody is good, describe them as good. If somebody has done well, say they've done well. But to see them in the light that they are. And the author of Acts describes Peter and John. And he simply says, these are ordinary men. This particular verse speaks about something else that I want to draw your attention to. It says the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see they were ordinary men. They were amazed, the council, they were amazed. They looked at Peter and John and they saw the boldness. They saw the courage. They saw the confidence. They seen these men speak so confidently. And it messed with their minds. Because their minds were thinking, but they're ordinary. But I see something extraordinary happening from them, in them, coming from them. It's challenging my thinking. I can't kind of make it out. These are ordinary men, but yet I am witnessing something extraordinary in their lives. How is that? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever looked at somebody and you see something extraordinary in them? Something extraordinary coming from them. Them functioning in an extraordinary way. But then you realize these are ordinary people. I remember years ago sitting in a congregation watching a preacher, watching a pastor preach the gospel and thinking to myself, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing how he does that. How does he do it? And I had to grapple that he's an ordinary man. And the extraordinariness, it's God's bit. You see, God is extraordinary and he pours out an extraordinary spirit that anoints ordinary people to do extraordinary things by his extraordinary love. You are ordinary and I'm ordinary, but we serve an extraordinary God that does extraordinary things in the lives of ordinary people to bring about extraordinary results that amazes ordinary people. It's the extraordinariness of God. He is extraordinary, but we, you, me, Peter, John, and the rest of them, were all just ordinary people. John Legend, the pop star, he sings a song and he says, we're just ordinary people. That's what we are. That's what you are. I know I could describe so many other words to describe you this morning, but you're ordinary and that's beautiful. Because God is extraordinary and he pours out his spirit on the lives of Peter and John and they begin to function. They begin to move. They begin to be bold and courageous in speaking about Jesus in an extraordinary way. And other people are amazed at this, the extraordinariness of God. We serve an extraordinary God that moves in ordinary ways to bring extraordinary results in the lives of ordinary people. Remember, he gave his extraordinary son to save ordinary people because of his extraordinary love. Jesus Christ, he died an ordinary death, but was resurrected in an ordinary way. Extraordinary way, I should say. And the Holy Spirit, he was poured out. He's an extraordinary Holy Spirit to anoint and to empower ordinary people to do extraordinary things. God is extraordinary and he can pour out his spirit and his love onto your life because you are ordinary and he can do extraordinary things in your life that will amaze other people and they'll stand and they'll say, I'm astonished, I'm amazed, I can't work it out in my mind because it's the move and the outpouring of God. He calls ordinary people to his extraordinary presence. He walks with ordinary people by extraordinary faith. He blesses ordinary people with his extraordinary grace. He anoints ordinary people with his extraordinary Holy Spirit. He washes ordinary people by his extraordinary blood. He empowers ordinary people with his extraordinary strength. He listens to ordinary people in extraordinary ways. He comforts ordinary people with extraordinary peace. He provides for ordinary people with extraordinary wonder. He loves ordinary people through his extraordinary son. And Jesus Christ, many looked at him and says, he's just ordinary. But you and I both know he's not just ordinary. He is extraordinary. He is extraordinary in the way that he walks. He's extraordinary in the way that he moves. He is extraordinary high and lifted up in heavens. And he's seated at the right hand of God. And he pours out his Holy Spirit on your life, on my life. And we are ordinary people, but we serve an extraordinary God. Are you beginning to believe that God uses ordinary people to touch the lives of other ordinary people because of his extraordinary love for you and for me? He's extraordinary, but don't be offended if you're called ordinary because God uses ordinary people. You should say, yes, I'm delighted that I'm ordinary because you are exactly what God wants, an ordinary person, an ordinary man, an ordinary woman. And God moves in extraordinary ways through the lives of ordinary people. Ah, do you remember? Billy Graham, oh man, he was extraordinary. Didn't he touch the lives of many people? But yet, he was an ordinary man. Moving and functioning and reaching out because an extraordinary God had touched his life. Does anybody remember a man called David Wilkinson? He started the ministry of Teen Challenge, which touches the lives of drug addicts and those who are in recovery and those who are in gangs. And he started this ministry, and it's now global. There are residential centers all over the world. But that man, he's an ordinary man. Nothing special, nothing grand. But God touched his life in an extraordinary way. And he began to do extraordinary things under the obedience and under the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. Does anybody remember a woman called Amy Carmichael? She was a missionary, a Christian missionary from County Down in Ireland. She opened an orphanage and found a mission in Donover. She served in India for 55 years and wrote many books about the missionary work there. Story has it that she prayed to Jesus for blue eyes. She had brown eyes, but she wanted blue eyes. And she prayed to Jesus, Jesus, please give me blue eyes, give me blue eyes, blue eyes. And he never gave her blue eyes, he gave her brown eyes. And as she was reflecting on her life many years later, she began to thank God that she didn't get the answered prayer that she wanted, because she realized that when she had brown eyes, that secured her entry into India in order to serve God. And so sometimes God doesn't answer your prayer because of the bigger picture, because he's moving you into a place where you'll serve him in an extraordinary way. And it happened in the life of Amy Carmichael. Has anybody heard of C.S. Lewis? The great author, the Christian author, wrote over 30 books, The Chronicles of Narnia, The Screwtape Letters, Mere Christianity, and many more. He was an ordinary man, touched by the grace of an extraordinary God, and began to serve God in extraordinary ways, and reaching the lives of ordinary people. And people are amazed. They say to themselves, how does he do it? It's true, the extraordinary wonder of God's love and God's Spirit in his lives. And there's many more. I could go through a whole list of people that we know. There are people in this church and people in the lives of other churches around Ireland. Ordinary people serving an extraordinary God, where his love and his Spirit is touching their lives. And they are touching the lives of other people in extraordinary ways. And people are amazed. And then we just say, we're ordinary people. You see, God is looking for ordinary people. And he's found you. And he's found what he's looking for. And he's saying to you today, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. I'm going to move upon your life. I'm going to provide for you in extraordinary ways. All you have to do is follow me. All you have to do is do what I tell you to do, to be obedient to my word. Just follow me, Jesus says. Follow me by faith. Walk with God through faith and love and hope. And the ordinary life will be impacted by an extraordinary God that will amaze the lives of other ordinary people, that will bring extraordinary results in the kingdom of God. And sure, we've no excuses, really. We've no excuses. We serve an extraordinary God that moves in the lives of ordinary people. Don't ever look at yourself and think, sure, I can't do it because I'm just ordinary. You can't use being ordinary as an excuse, because that's exactly what God is looking for. And God is convinced that he can move in your life. And actually, other people will probably look at your life and say, yes, I believe that God can move in your life. But you know the person needs to be convinced? It's you. You need to look in the mirror and say, I'm convinced that an extraordinary God can use me, an ordinary person, to bring about his will and his love in an ordinary way that will bring extraordinary results. Are you convinced? I came across, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, a poem. And the poem is called The Man in the Glass. And it's all about convincing yourself, as you look in the mirror and you see the person who's looking back, which is you, that you don't cheat yourself, that you are true to yourself in that sense. Does that make sense? I'm going to read this poem to you. The Man in the Glass. When you get what you want in your struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, just go to the mirror and look at yourself and see what the ordinary man has to say. For it isn't your father, your mother, or wife whose judgment upon you must pass. The fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the one staring back from the glass. He's the fellow to please, never mind all the rest, for he's with you clear to the end. And you've passed your most difficult, dangerous test if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the world down the pathway of years and get pats on the back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartache and tears if you've cheated the man in the glass. That poem is all about a person, an ordinary man, an ordinary woman, looking into a mirror and being true with themselves. And God is convinced that he can do extraordinary things in your life. And other people will be convinced that God can do extraordinary things in your life. But you know who needs to be convinced? It's you. When you look in the mirror, do you believe with all of your heart? Do you accept that an extraordinary God can use an ordinary person to do extraordinary things that will amaze ordinary people in the kingdom of God? If there's one thing that I think that God wants to say to you today, is that you are exactly what he's looking for. You're ordinary. But don't use being ordinary as an excuse, because he's extraordinary and the two of them go together. And so we see it in the lives of Peter, and we see it in the lives of John, that they were preaching and teaching with a boldness, and other people were amazed, other people were astonished. They couldn't figure it out because they thought to themselves, these are just ordinary men, but I'm witnessing something extraordinary take place in these men's lives and in the lives of other people. And there's another thing that it says, that the members of the council also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Well, there you have it. If anybody's with Jesus, any ordinary man, any ordinary woman, nothing special, nothing grand, if you find yourself in the presence of Jesus or walking with Jesus, don't be surprised if something extraordinary happens in your life, because he himself is extraordinary. And if you spend time with somebody who is extraordinary, something extraordinary is going to rub off on your life. And so therefore, get into the presence of the Lord. Walk with Jesus by faith. Follow him with all of your heart, because as you follow him and as you look to him and as you spend time with him, something extraordinary is going to happen in your heart and in your life, because you're spending time with the extraordinary one. That's what happens. That's what happens. And so if you want something extraordinary to take place, all you have to do is spend time with Jesus. He makes it simple for you and for me. We're just ordinary men, ordinary women, spending time with an extraordinary Messiah that loves in an extraordinary way. And so, would you be willing to make a decision today? Would you be willing to go that far? Would you be willing to say, I'm going to spend time with Jesus? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it today. I might even do it tomorrow. I might even do it the day after. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to set my heart towards him. Because if I do that, other people might recognize as you as a person who's been with Jesus. You're just an ordinary man, an ordinary woman. And so, there you have it. In the most simplest of forms, an extraordinary God pours out His extraordinary Holy Spirit into the lives of ordinary people. And as they walk, and as they talk, and as they function, and as they go about doing what they do, serving God, they begin to do extraordinary things, and other people are amazed. Other people are astonished because they can't figure it out in their minds. It doesn't make sense. They begin to, this doesn't,